And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Roland. The program is called Shedding Shackles. There's a beautiful passage in the Epistle to the Hebrews. It's the beginning of chapter 11, and it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Isn't that beautiful? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what we need, isn't it? We all know that we need faith. Let's talk about faith today, shall we? Let's begin at a very basic level. A lot of people lack confidence. And when they do have confidence, it's based upon some external reassurance or assurance. We admire people who are self-possessed and who have some kind of confidence that doesn't depend upon others. There's an interesting line in A Streetcar Named Desire, a famous play. And I believe it was Blanche, one of the main characters in the play. And she said something like, "All my life, I've had to rely on the kindness of strangers. All my life, I've had to rely on the kindness of strangers." Well, a lot of us, we have to rely upon the reassurance of others. Now, what is that? Why is that? Well, it's because when you were a little child, see, when you were a very little child, you had lots of confidence. Why, you ran and jumped and played, and you were fearless as a little tiny child. But it wasn't long before people started to dump on you. They started to pressure you and make you afraid. That's right, they made you afraid. What is it that most of us are the most afraid? Have you heard that one of the greatest fears of people is giving a speech? Have you heard that? A lot of people are afraid of giving a speech when they get before other people, why their knees start knocking. And you know why? It's because they're afraid of people. And why are they afraid of people? They're afraid that people won't give them approval and support and reassurance. And people will be critical toward them. Now, why would they be afraid of that? It's because a long time ago, going back to childhood, parents and other authorities made the child afraid to do things, afraid to make a mistake because of what would happen when the child made a little mistake. What happens when a child spills a little milk on the floor? Well, a lot of times the child gets yelled at or screamed at, or the parent rolls his or her eyes and acts like the child is dumb or stupid or terrible. Well, that child then will begin to be afraid of making a mistake. And everything the child does, it second guesses. Always the child second guesses himself. Second guessing because he's afraid why he might make a mistake. Then people will become angry at him. See? So, at a very basic level, you see how the natural faith, the natural confidence, we're not even talking about something spiritual, we're just talking about the natural. Do you see how it is very quickly destroyed for most children? We'll talk more about this topic after this little message. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, a spiritual and practical look at relationships? My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget. The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com. Did you know that I have over 900 video YouTube lectures? My most popular YouTube lecture is Never Complain, Never Explain. So check it out at youtube.com or sheddingshackles.com. Hi, this is Roland. I just wanted to say a special hello and welcome and express my gratitude to listeners in beautiful Southland and Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Yucaipa, Redlands, Hemet, Riverside, Palm Springs, Banning, Temecula, Moreno Valley, and all points around there. Thank you all for listening. Life is supposed to be happy and sweet, an adventure, a wonderful, wonderful adventure. And it may once again become a wonderful adventure for you, and brightness will be restored and joy. Something like what you once knew when you were a little child. But in order to rediscover it and experience it, this joy, you must see what your mistakes are. Okay? You must come to a full understanding of your mistakes, and that's what I'm helping you to, hopefully, to do. We're talking today about a very beautiful passage from the Epistle to the Hebrews. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So I want to talk about faith, but first I have to lay a little groundwork. I have to lay a little groundwork that you can understand. And I began by saying that little children are pressured. What happens is that the little child does something and receives a very, very negative feedback on what the child did. In other words, the child is yelled at, screamed at, criticized, lectured, threatened, see, about all the terrible things that will happen if the child doesn't learn to mind and so on. And the child is afraid, becomes afraid of that, afraid of the lecture, afraid of the anger. See, I was sitting yesterday at the clubhouse at the golf course. I was just sitting quietly and relaxing a little bit. My son was out hitting some balls at the driving range. And as I sat there, I looked at the big screen television that they had. And there was some kind of a sports commentary show on. But I was watching the commentators. And I suddenly realized that I was looking very intently at each one. As each one spoke, I was looking very intently at the speaker. And I realized that what I was looking for was either love or hate. For a long time in my life, especially when I was a little child, you know, you look at the face of your parent, and if in your parent's face you see impatience, you see rejection, you see unhappiness about you, you see, or a subtle, or anger. What the little child is basically seeing is the face of hate. And the little child begins to look for that in everyone, for hate, and he expects to see it. But the little child also looks at people's faces because he wants to see love. He wants to see not anger, not impatience, not hate, not resentment. See, he's looking for that and hoping that he will see it. So he's looking for love and he's looking for hate and he's afraid that he'll see the hate. And usually he ends up seeing the hate. See? So that was a big realization for me right there. So here I am. You know, it's not going to be too much longer, and I'll be 70 years old. And I'm looking at people's faces as if I were a little child. because of the trauma that I undoubtedly experienced when I was little. So now you see, parents, what impatience means. You excuse your impatience. You say, well, I had a busy day, or I'm tired, or she never listens to what I say, or my husband is no good, or, you know, I'm sure you have plenty of excuses for your impatience. But the child sees it and leaves an indelible mark upon the child. But then the problem is that you become imprinted by that. And you take on the nature of that to which you are, as a little child, reacting. Because you've seen the hate, you've seen the impatience, you've seen the anger. And so reacting, you become externalized, and you take in that outside nature. And then it's in you. And then when you grow up, then you go around and you are impatient, and angry, and resentful, secretly judgmental. And then you feel guilty for it, so then you act extra nice to make up for it. So most people's lives revolved around being impatient and then guilty and then trying to make up for it by being extra nice. And being angry and trying to make up for it by being extra nice. And being secretly judgmental and making up for it by trying to be extra nice and cover it up. See? Hi, everyone. This is Roland. I just want to take a moment to introduce myself. Well, I've been around 28 years now on the radio. I'm just a man with a microphone. I don't work for the station. I don't get paid by the station. I don't get a salary. I don't have an organization. It's just me. And that's how I help people. That's why I've done this all these years. I just want to help people, okay? Well, I'm a lot closer to 70 than I am to 65, so I'll give you an idea that I've been around for a while, okay? But I understand some basic things, but more importantly, I know how to recover from them. Some basic things that go wrong, like resentment, hostility, and unfinished business, and not finding the purpose of your life, okay? Getting sidetracked, and conforming to other people, and then finding out you missed the boat, so I know how to recover from that kind of stuff. And I know the answer is spiritual. And it has something to do with God. And it has something to do with Christ. See, but here's the thing. Just hearing about religion, hearing about God, hearing about Jesus, it's not enough. You have to experience Him in your innermost being. And what's blocking you right now from experiencing Him is undoubtedly resentment and being lost in your thoughts. Lost in your daydreams and lost in your worries and doubts and fears. And so you have to learn how to stand back from those so you can get clear of them, okay? It's like coming up out of being under the ocean, coming up to the surface, and there's the blue sky and the puffy clouds, and you take a wonderful, deep breath of fresh air, okay? That's what you need to do to come out of those daydreams that become nightmares. Rise above them and then find reality. The blue sky and the puffy clouds and where the birds are singing. And that's why I've made a little meditation, too. I've made a little meditation that has been very, very helpful to some people. It's been very helpful to me. And I think could be just what you need if you really and truly want to get better, okay, and find out the purpose for your existence and find out just where you've been going wrong and what's been blocking you from finding all the good things that life can hold. The program is called Shedding Shackles. We're talking today about faith. And I'm laying some groundwork for you. Because ultimately, what we need is faith in God. Faith in God. And of hope. Not a hope that we give ourselves, but a hope that is based upon faith in God and reliance upon God. Knowing that God exists. Knowing that He is good, and looking to Him for our reassurance and assurance. And when we become externalized to the point that we are very, very reactive to other people's critical eye and their hate and their anger and their impatience and the impatience that we see in their face, then we become totally externalized. We become externalized and we lose contact with our inner ground of being. We lose contact with our intuition that comes from God, our true lodestar. And when we lose contact with it, then we become outer dependent. We become dependent on the very ones whose face of anger and impatience had traumatized us. Then we look to them. We look to them for assurance and reassurance, and we look to the world for assurance and reassurance, you see? One of the great writers of America, Ralph Waldo Emerson, wrote a very famous essay called Self-Reliance. Once upon a time, everyone had to read Self-Reliance in school, in high school, at least in college, but mostly in high school. Everyone read Self-Reliance. And in that beautiful essay, Ralph Waldo Emerson talks about the happy-go-lucky, blithe, carefree spirit of boys who thumb their nose at authority, you know, like Tom Sawyer. Remember Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn? Who thumb their nose at authority and who have an insouciance, you know, a lack of, in other words, they don't care what other people think of them. Okay. So that's a kind of a courage, isn't it? Not looking to other people for support, but having self-confidence. Well, it was a beautiful essay. And there were a lot of people like that a long time ago in America. We've always been a land of independent people. But now, not so much. Not so much. But I think you can see that those boys have not been robbed. Have not been robbed of their independence. And those boys and those young ladies will become the Henry Fords. They'll become the Stephen Jobs. They'll become the Estee Lauders. They'll become the Mary Kay Ashes. They'll become the Pauls and the Jeremiahs and the Isaiahs and Madame Curies and the Albert Einsteins. See? Because they hang on to their rapport with intuition. Albert Einstein didn't do well in school, you know. In fact, one teacher hated him. That's right. One teacher hated him. He said Albert Einstein sat at the back of the room with a kind of a smile on his face. And of course, the teacher didn't like that because he wanted everybody kowtowing to him, you see. But later, this teacher had to admit that Einstein was a pretty smart guy. Okay. Well, Einstein had that spirit of independence. He hadn't been robbed of it. So, you need to recapture that and start to care less about what other people think about you and to look within and care more about what God thinks about you, okay? And you'll discover something very wonderful. If you begin on this journey back to your Creator, you'll discover something very wonderful, which I will tell you about after this important announcement. Hi, this is Roland. Are you interested in improving your relationship with your partner? Or how about improving your relationship with your kids if communication is not so good? Okay, and then how about getting rid of hurt feelings and misunderstandings and so on? Well, then you really ought to read one of my books about relationships and about marriage. And one of the ones that I don't talk about a lot, I should talk about more, is my book called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Oh, what a wonderful book. It's over 300 pages, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I talk about how to improve your relationship, what to do if your wife asks you to leave, how to forgive and forget, okay? How to stay married for a long time and live happily ever after, how to develop character and learn to bear suffering and grow from it, okay? And how to have understanding when you deal with other people, okay? And how not to judge your husband so much and how not to resent your wife. Well, may I recommend you get Putting the Forever Back in Love? Just visit sheddingshackles.com or talktoapastor.org and you can preview it for free. It's also on Amazon. Putting the Forever Back in Love. I think you'll really enjoy it. Welcome back. Very special program. I've been on the air now for, this is my 29th year. I'm just a man with a microphone. I buy the airtime from the station to bring you this message. And some people benefit very, very, very greatly from the message. Yes, that's right. Now we're talking today about faith. And I've laid some groundwork. I've showed you how early childhood traumas cause us to become externalized, to be afraid of the face of impatience and anger and rejection and criticism that we have seen in those who we look to for love. And so when we are so traumatized, we become externalized and reactive. When you become externalized and reactive, it separates you from flowing from within. It separates you from a natural spontaneity, a natural blithe, carefree, happy-go-lucky spirit. It separates you from your inner ground of good from which you could flow and become what the good Lord intended for you to be. It separates you from that. And then, separated from that, and also from love and confidence and courage and all the beautiful virtues that would develop from your adherence to and rapport with your inner ground and creativity. And so you become separated from it, and then you feel empty. And you feel unloved. And then you look to the world then, see, to fill the emptiness. And so you look to the world for support and for reassurance from people, the very ones often that had traumatized you in the first place. And you look to food and to friends and to peer group and to drugs and to marijuana. And you look to the outside for support and reassurance. And you become even more separated from within and robbed of true faith, which is a rapport with your inner ground of good. I had promised you something beautiful to share with you, and I will. Let's say that you see that you have been traumatized. It wasn't your fault when you were a little child. You couldn't help it. You were only a little child. It was the job of your parents and other people to protect you from trauma. But you see, they themselves had been traumatized. They themselves had been externalized. They themselves were totally outward-directed and reliant upon the outside for reassurance. For example, a lot of us have parents who became upset over things, bills that needed to be paid and problems and issues and this happening and that happening, and your parent became totally upset. Now, why would that be? It's because they were external. When they were a child, and they made a little mistake, they were dumped on and criticized and rejected and disapproved of and threatened. You see what I mean? Sometimes overtly, sometimes subtly. And so they became afraid of any little thing going wrong, and now when things go wrong, they react to it. So maybe now you can forgive your parents for their mistakes. They couldn't help themselves. Christ said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Your mom, see, your poor unloved mom, she didn't know what she was doing when she maybe dumped all over you or became angry at you. She didn't know. That's what was done to her. When something went wrong, she overreacted to it. She didn't mean to. She couldn't help herself. So forgive. In other words, let go of your grudge against your parents. Let go of the anger you have towards them. And when you let go of the anger, the main thing now that keeps you externalized, now this is the beautiful thing, the main thing now that's keeping you totally externalized and disconnected from your inner ground is resentment, judgment, and anger. Resentment, judgment, and anger. So let go of the judgment and the resentment and the anger. Let them go away. And then you will be free to relate once again to your inner ground of good. And when you do, you will make a very wonderful discovery, and that is that God has forgiven you. God doesn't hold a grudge. See, you hold a grudge against other people sometimes, or you're unforgiving, or you're angry with them and resentful. But he's not that way. He's very gracious. You will discover that he forgives you for whatever you might have done wrong. And then life begins anew. Start all over, this time connected with your inner ground, connected with your Creator, and now become the beautiful, noble person that you were always meant to be. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage, a spiritual and practical look at relationships? My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com. You know, you really ought to try the meditation. If you like this program, if you hear something here that you've always yearned to hear, well, then the next step would be to get the meditation. Because it's so simple, but so important, because most people are lost between their ears. Most people are lost in worries, doubts, and fears, and all kinds of emotions, and upsets, and worries. And so, be nice to come out of that. Come back to the present where the birds are singing. So, go to SheddingShackles.com and look for the free meditation. Could do you a world of good. I do have a lot of YouTube lectures. Nice little lectures. One of my popular ones is called Casting Cares Upon the Lord, for He Cares for You. Check it out at youtube.com or at SheddingShackles.com. Tune in again next time for this program, or listen to it at our radio archives at SheddingShackles.com. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.